every year before Yom Kippur, we try to look at a different one of the Viduyim, one of the confessions that we say, to try to have a deeper understanding of what we're actually being mesvadeh for, what we're confessing for. So this is B'chasdei Hashem, our 10th or 11th that we've done. You can look at previous years at the others to get a refresher course. This year we're going to take a look at Mirtz Hashem at the last one of the Viduyim. And for the sin through confusion of the heart. Timahon is a very interesting word. The Art Scroll translates it, we have not been seen God's hand in everyday events. We have allowed ourselves to be weakened in matters of faith. When trouble befalls us, we wonder why. And instead of understanding that Hashem is showing us that we must improve ourselves, we have doubted the validity of the Torah, the authority of the sages, and the applicability of the halacha to modern times. Rav Meiselich in his Kuntres on Vidui, in source number 2, echoes this. We question the amitat, the truth of the Torah, b'metzius Hashem Yisbarach, the fact that Hashem exists, hashkacha, that Hashem is intimately involved in our lives, Torah mishamayim, schar va'onesh, reward and punishment, all these wonderful basic tenets of Amunah, we question. We even wonder when we see the niflos habore, the wonders of creation, we take a look at it as being natural without seeing that it comes from Hashem. Timahom levav is the confusion of the heart, the unfocused of the heart. Moda Labina, Rav Radberg, explains in source number 3, Hinei lashon timahom levav, Kvarnim Savatara, this expression of Timahon Levav is already found in the Torah, in the section of the Tocha of Rebuke in Parshat Kitovo. Yakecha Hashem, Hashem will strike us with Timahon Levav. And there Rashi explains Timahon Levav means Otaim Halev, Hainu Stimat Halev. Our hearts are clogged, our hearts are closed. We say Alchet to Hashem for having closed hearts. Right, and that's the idea of the confusion and not seeing Hashem's hands. Well, what exactly does this mean? And asks the Moda Labina, V'nireh deha demidu inyan timahom levav ki inyan acharon bevidu d'yom ha-kippurim. The fact this is the last one, albeit, he says, it's a letter tough. But nevertheless, it must be, he says, the makeh bepatish. It must be like the final hammer blow of all the sins. Like if you had to encapsulate all of our sins in Dewan, boom, Timahom Levav is all inclusive. So we need to understand what this Timahom Levav is. And obviously, as we know, that part of the tshuva process is not only recognizing what we've done, articulating what we've done, feeling bad for what we've done, but there's also, aside from the regret, there has to be a future commitment. So we need to be able to understand what Timahom Levav is in order that we have a sense, and up at the end of this year, Mirtz Hashem, of what are some steps that we can take to help rid ourselves of this closed heart. Really, we'll talk about two different aspects of the Timahom Levav, and we'll really see that they're really one and the same. The Omosha brings down in source 4, Rav Scheinemann, Shuva Yisrael Hashem Elokecha, ki kashalta bavanecha. We have to return ad Hashem Elokecha until Hashem is our God, which means that we have that clarity of understanding that ein od milvado, there is none aside from Hashem. And he says the reason why we perhaps don't have this is ki kashalta bavanecha. We have stumbled in our sins. Our sins create a timtum halev, an impurity of the heart, and that's what makes us stumble, and that's what makes us have these questions in our emunah, and through tshuva and coming back to Hashem, then all of these questions will be removed, and you'll recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So really, when we say that we have timahom levav, because as Rav Scheinemann continues to say, the idea of emunah, kefi Hashem Yitbarach natab libcha tateva ruchani, ladat oto la'aval lira oto lech medrachav. We have built into our system a natural propensity to love Hashem, to fear Hashem, to walk in Hashem's ways. if we do not do this, if we are unable to have this clarity of emuna, so it's because we've sinned. So it's not just I'm saying an alchet, remorse for the fact that I have, you know, obtruse heart. It's much deeper than that. It's a realization that my sins that I have done have created this hardening of the heart, and therefore I have these problems in Amunah. And hence we understand right off the bat why this is the final of the and all inclusive of all the alchets. When I'm living in such a state, so the state of sin leads me to a state of callousness, which leads me to a state of distance from Hashem. And really what we're acknowledging here is the effect of sin that it has on us. If we take a look, just to develop this a little bit deeper, Rav Wolfson and Wellsprings of Faith, he says, the belief with which a Jew is born is called the hereditary belief in God. Every Jew knows there's a God in the same instinctive way. He knows how to breathe. He doesn't have to be taught it. He doesn't have to figure it out through logic. It's a knowledge that comes from the deepest level of being. He may not be able to justify this knowledge intellectually or even to articulate it clearly, but it's there. It's a hereditary knowledge. Migratory birds don't have a GPS system. They know how to come back to that same tree they left a few months earlier. It's inborn. A child knows how to nurse a few moments old. This is the way we are wired. Emuna in Hashem is an instinctive recognition that we have. A Jew needs only to awaken this instinctive knowledge and will reconnect him with his Father in Heaven. Now, if that's true, that we all have this instinctive knowledge, how can there people who don't believe? And, or let's put it a little bit differently, how can we possibly sin? If we know instinctively that Hashem exists, and that Einod Bovado, there is none aside from Hashem, so then how can we possibly act in the way we do? So he says, the healthy Jewish soul has an instinctive and sixth belief in God. But if someone damages his neshama through spiritual abuse, he can become spiritually ill. And the natural powers of his soul, including the power of Emunah, would be weakened. What is the definition of spiritual abuse? The answer can be stated in one word: sin. Every aveira, every sin, can damage the soul and weaken the faculty of Emunah. Sin stupefies the heart, Chazal tell us. Sin dulls the spiritual heart and numbs the natural recognition that a person can have. And that's when the spiritual heart can become clogged. That's the timahon levav. Not by cholesterol, but by aveiros. Sin interferes with the natural flow of holiness within the heart and renders the heart hard and unresponsive. When we say, alchei chechatan fanecha v'timahon levav, we are acknowledging this hardened heart caused by our sins. And he notes the following. He says, in a healthy individual, I'm going to come back to this at the end of Mirtz Hashem, the natural power of Emunah will inform and infuse the intellect, and the intellect in turn will direct the emotions. However, the direction of influence can also be reversed. Human nature is such that the powerful emotions can influence and undermine the operation of the intellect and the conscious mind, and we call this rationalization. The two emotional forces that are generally responsible for rationalization are taiva, the desire for physical pleasure, and gaiva, the desire to protect and enhance one's self-image. And that's why when the Torah threatens to limit your desire, the powerful force of desire and the personality line up to do battle against it. They subvert the integrity of the intellect and bribe it with the illusory currency of promised pleasures. Gaiva is also working behind the scenes to undermine the impartiality of the intellect. To some extent, consciously or unconsciously, every Jew senses the goodness and beauty of Torah, but at the same time, a Jew who is far from Torah doubts he could ever control the desires that now dominate him. And why would he want to admit to himself that his goal is sweet and precious when he thinks it's beyond his reach, similar to the fox and the grapes? It doesn't bother me, I can't reach the grapes, the fox tells himself. They're sour anyway. And that's the challenge that we have because of our sense of gaiva, of haughtiness, sense of self, that we can't achieve what the Torah wants, we say, it's not worth it anyway. And we do whatever we want, rationalization, because of taiva. The Torah doesn't let me wear what I want, and say what I want, and eat what I want. Who needs this? And then you start saying, well, who believes that everything's natural, v'chule. This is the challenge that we have. The clogged heart, the obtrusive heart, that we're unable to see the hand of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. We are unable to have that basic emunah. And because of this, the fallout is in a number of areas. Area number one, as we mentioned, is not being able to see the hand of Hashem in nature. You see a squirrel, there are squirrels in Eretz Yisrael, source 10, plenty of squirrels in America. You see a squirrel scurrying up the side of a tree, you're looking at the wonders of Hashem's miracles. The fruit of the tree is desirable as a means to wisdom. The fruit of the tree are desirable in order to make you wise. You're supposed to become wise from a fruit. Look at the fruit and just think about it, right, Rabbi Victor Miller? The beauty of the fruit, the smell of the fruit, the color of the fruit, the texture of the fruit. If you are open to seeing relationship with Hashem, you'll be able to see a relationship with Hashem at every step of the way. If you're closed off, an apple is an apple, and you don't see, and you miss out on so many opportunities. He quotes in this sefer, again, Rabbi Victor Miller, who met with some type of ENT, and he asked him, how many ears have you looked at? And the guy gave some wild number, I don't know, 10,000, I don't know, like, incredible number. And he said to him, wow, 10,000 opportunities to see the greatness of Hashem's majesty in creating the human being. And the doctor looked at him like he fell from the moon. Like, what? It's an ear, right? An ear is an ear, but if you lend your ear, then you will see that it's not an ear. It's the majesty of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's how we look at things. Being one of timahon levav, confusion of the heart, we don't even appreciate that which is in front of us. Even a greater, perhaps, challenge of this timahon levav is when you look at the world with happenstance, meaning that the people refuse 11a to recognize that their misfortunes were divinely ordained, and have carefully and objectively analyzed the punishments could be seen to fit the crime, and therefore is a clear message to repent. Instead, they will insist that everything was a coincidence, the result of natural causes. And the Rambam writes this in Source 11b. He says, when you walk with Hashem, bekeri, bimikre, he says, there's a positive commandment to cry out and blow trumpets at the advent of any trouble that befalls the populace. However, if they do not cry out and blow the trumpets, but rather say that what has occurred is due to natural circumstances, and this calamity has come merely by chance, then the calamity will lead to other calamities. And this is what the Torah means, im tehui mi, the carry, if you walk with me, with coincidence. And this, my friends, was originally the impetus for this year. We have been banged over the head in the last few months, in the last 2 years, where Hashem is literally taking a sledgehammer and saying, hello, and one who wants to look at it as those massive floods this week in taping of Rosh Hashanah in New York. Oh, you know, it happens sometimes, it floods. It floods Erev Rosh Hashanah to this extent. Hello? Right? Throughout the world, and we know that everything that happens in the world is a wake-up call for the Jews, whether it's in Germany, whether it's in Russia, the whole, you know, the floods and the earthquakes and the fires, none of this is by accident. All of these are wake-up calls. Meron, Carlin Stolen, Miami. Hashem is mamish shaking the foundations of the world. And when one says, well, and we need to, don't get me wrong, we need to have a committee to understand what was happening and what was the building. And for sure you need to do that. There are many buildings in Miami. My mother-in-law lives in one that you want to have strength and we don't want this to repeat it. Don't get me wrong. At the same time, what do we learn from it? What's the message for us? And that is when one just looks at the technical, well, the weather pattern in, you know, the global warming is, you've missed out. You're walking around b'timahon levav in a state of confused heart, of unable to see that which is in front of us. It's a wake-up call. And if this is true in the major areas that happen in our lives, it's equally as true with what happens to us in our own lives. There is no coincidence. There is no, well, you know, the doctors say none of this. Everything that happens is directed by Hashem, and we have to hold on to this. The moment that we say it's by chance, it's by coincidence, and this is something to teach kids at a young age, not to say, oh, what a coincidence I met you. Rather, what hashkocha pratit I met you. Be able to talk with Amuna, to talk with belief. There's a gevaldic idea that Chochman HaMatzpun brings in source 12, and if we walk away with justice today, I don't want us to, but I would say, Dayenu, this is a great idea, put this in your pocket. Source 12, V'af shelefamim nidmeh l'adam shezeh mikra. Even when we at times think, it was just by chance, I can't believe I met you, it was just by chance. Aval im yitbonen heitev yireh shezeh mikra shelo. But if you look closely, it was a chance that was orchestrated for you. Like we see by Rut. The pasuk says, Vayikara mikre, that there was by chance that she landed in Boaz's field. It was a chance that she happened to land in Boaz's field. That landed a shidduch for Rut, which landed Melech HaMashiach. We are talking about that what seemed to be a, it happened to be, this is redemption. וכשאדם רואה בתחילה את כל המעשה, רואה עניין פשוט שקורה בכל יום, ואינו מכיר בזה את יד השם. The timahom levav is to walk around in a state of confusion, asking ourselves, why is this happening to me? What's going on in my life? ואחרי שחתן לפניך בתימום לבב, is when we are weakened in our amunam, when our sin overcomes us, particularly through taiva and gaiva, desire and haughtiness, we are unable to see the hand of Hashem at every step of the way. And when you do see the hand of Hashem, this is such an opportunity to say thank you. It's such an opportunity to acknowledge Hashem and come that much closer to Him. One other area where this timahon levav rears its head and where our amunah is challenged is an idea the Or Chadash brings. And he says, Source 13, Hinei Omnam im Adam Rav Zaychik, Over Derech Beitol Shel Ashir. You happen to be walking down the street and you pass by a rich person who's sitting looking happily ever after, right? We know that nobody has a happily ever after, and we're so mistaken when we see this. I just happened to have this week where somebody came to talk to me about a certain issue, and she was telling me how jealous in a of another person who has what she's missing, not like in possessions, but in a larger area, whatever it is. And I'm sitting there laughing to myself because the person she's quote-unquote wish she would be like, let's leave it that way, jealous may be a strong word, this person she wishes she would have what she has was in my office a few years ago talking about the person who's sitting in front of me now saying, oh, I wish I had what this person had. Obviously I could say that because of confidentiality, but like, hello, right? Nobody has it perfect. As I over ruchol zerem shel kina v'gaguim, suddenly you see this person with the lemonade rocking on their rocking chair in front of their house, and you have this jealousy coming in front of you, and you say, wow, you know, some people really have it, and some people just don't. And you're broken by kina, by jealousy. That's also timahom levav. That's also the confusion of the heart. You think that it's, you ask yourself, why does this person have this? Why does this person deserve this? Why don't I have this? It's really, my friends, a lack of amunah. It's really, my friends, something much deeper going on here. which brings to mind a beautiful idea Rabbi Pliskin has in his Sefer on Tehillim. On the Pasuk, Al tira ki asher ish ki yirbe kvod beso, ki lo b'moto yikach hakol lo yered acharav kvodo. Don't cause yourself distress when another becomes wealthy, when the honor of his house increases, for when he dies he won't take anything. His glory will not descend after him. When we see or hear that someone is highly successful, we have a choice as to what our attitude will be. Those who focus on the joy and pleasure of the gifts that Almighty has given them will be free of envy. Their minds are so full of gratitude and appreciation that they gain all the benefits of what anyone else has. True, someone else might have more than they do, but the benefit one other has is that it gives that person joy. This joy can be yours when your mind is joyful with what you have. It is not how much anyone has that makes a true difference in one life. It's the emotional quality of one's life lived with what one has. One who has not yet mastered this attitude says, I give out. Well, how awful. This person has a lot. I have only little. His life is so much better than mine. He has made in this world. I have not. I will now choose to feel highly distressed whenever I compare with what I have with what he has. Wait a moment. Your distress comes from a major error in your thinking. You think that this person's wealth makes him fortunate? No. His wealth does not make him live happily ever after. Rather, his wealth is only temporary. All his wealth and superficial honor and glory do not follow him to the grave. You don't take it with you to the end. You know, I thought about this many years ago. I went rowboating with my daughter in Central Park. And I was thinking about, you know, row your boat merrily down the stream. And, you know, that's the idea of you'll live happily ever after. Merrily, merrily down the stream. And I was thinking that when you row the boat, you don't see the direction you're rowing in. I always wonder, like, why don't you row the boat in the direction you're going? You're sitting in the opposite direction. Because we don't have merrily, merrily afterwards. We are able to look back and appreciate that what we've accomplished was all for our good, and we're able to see the hashkacha. So we're rowing in the right direction. It's merrily ever after, because that's the direction where I'm able to appreciate in hindsight that everything is good. But what is coming is my challenge, that I'm able to see it and process it for the good. And one knows also that you can't take it with you. When it comes to spiritual accomplishment, one does not need a large amount of money if you were here for spiritual purposes. Smiling at somebody, building somebody up, saying a nice word, you don't need money to reach that. Envy 17 is a foolish waste of one's precious time and mental energy. Imagine someone standing at a seashore with a large group of people. All of a sudden, an ancient buried treasure of gold coins is brought in with the tide. Everyone gets into the action, gathers as much as he can. One man has gathered more coins than other people, but much less than others. And he stops and says, woe is me. So one person says, hello, just start collecting. And another person says, I have a little secret to tell you. You think that's gold? It's really not. It's a buried children's toy. If you rub it off, you'll see. It's not really gold. You're really wasting your time. Open your eyes and observe what I'm showing you. And now the whining stops. True awareness has changed the entire situation. David HaMelech wisdom enables us to see this world with greater clarity. Someone once coined the term unsanity for basically normal people who create a false map of the world. Sanity is seeing reality as it actually is. Sanity and intelligence means internalizing the awareness that long-term spiritual meaning is the goal for which we should strive. This is what would be wise to consider our top priority in life. And indeed, the Or Yecheskel points out, Rav Chaska Levenstein will use a number of his pieces here in Elul in 18, where he says, know that this desire for wealth, for honor, is a desire that literally makes us blind, literally creates this timahon levav, this confusion of the heart. And he says the following, he says, no, v'bemet af olam hazeh eino mekabel ki lo yo'il v'lo yotzil. No, in reality is, no matter how much you try, and no matter how much you do, you're only going to get what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you. Nimsa ki kolam alo larik. Oftentimes you can be just working for no reason. Ma'itron hama basher hu osa, the squiggly in 18. What's it all worth of all that you've done? Hadami no matzig mumai yidei avadato. You're really not. This is deep, and it's painful sometimes, but it's yantiv. A person is really not acquiring anything with all your work, because it's all determined on Rosh Hashanah. You really have 1 week to work, and that's Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur, where you have to daven. That's it. All of our money is decided then, and we know this, that you think you made more money, and then it's the pipes, and then it's the car, and then you think that you didn't make so much money this year, and then somebody grants you money, and you get a tax return, and whatever it is. It's all cheshboned out in Shemayim. And va'emet she'ta'ud hi ki ha'shifa va'teva einam mo'ila ve'einam matzila. This desire for more isn't going to help you. Listen to the pasuk. Va'olsher va'kavod milfanecha va'tam oshel bakol. The richness, the wealth, and the honor are in front of you, and you rule everything. Umil fanecha, without being in front of Hashem, lo yosig olam hazeh, you're not going to get anything. Vasiba latanotenu hi shachayim anu b'tardema shemedamim anu ki olam hazeh talui b'yadenu. Do you know what part of this timahon levavis, you know, is just part of the confusion of the heart, which is again our sins, which is affecting our emuna, that we really believe that this world is in our hands, that we really believe that we are in control. Waking up on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is about the realization that I can't take it with me. It's not mine. It's predetermined by Hashem based on knowing what we're going to do with it, how we're going to utilize it, and how we're going to bring a Kvod Shamayim, the glory of Hashem's presence, with this item. Well, my friends, how many of us are living in Timahon Levav? Well, let me rephrase the question. How many of us are not living in Timahon Levav? How many of us have this clarity that I work what I need to work because that's part of the klola, part of the curse of Adam Arisho, but the amount of money I get is based on what Hashem wants me to get? I'm not in control. Hashem's in control. Va'osher va'kavod milfanecha v'ata moshel bakol. And if we don't live with that reality, and we think we're in control, and it's with money, and it's with shiduchim, and it's with doctors, and the list goes on, and we think that we are the ones who are going to orchestrate, we are the ones who are going to be in charge. Now, I remember a few years ago, I was in the store, and I met a lady, an acquaintance, who was telling me about her daughter, Shirach. She said, and you had to hear the tempo, she said, in the summer I went to this Rosh Yeshiva, and he told me this boy would be perfect for my daughter, but he wasn't dating. So I would call him up every so often. And then I met somebody else who knew this boy, and I told this person to tell this boy's family that my daughter would be perfect then. And then I went to here, and I did that, and I did that. And then finally, they met, and they're married. And I was standing there listening to her say, is there a God in the picture? Like, I see you did a lot of yishtadlus, and that's wonderful, but where's the Ribono Shel Olam? We think we're in control. We have massive confusion issues. That's what it's about. The confusion of the heart. Bosai, we could stand on this alchet, we have 10 times, and really focus on all the areas that I'm confused. I've spent so much time this year on fill in the blank, thinking that I'm in control. Hashem, what was I thinking? You're taking care of me. Obviously, I have to do my shtadlus. Obviously, I have to put in my effort. Obviously, I go to work. But I have perspective. Timon Levav. I look at what's happening in my life and I say, God, why are you doing this? Confusion of the heart. Timon Levav. I look at the world and I say, well, why does this person have good and I don't? Confusion of the heart. Jealousy is all part of a lack of emunah. Timahon Levav, confusion of the heart. Taking this one step further, my friends, in 19 notes, Rabbi Yechezkel quotes from Rabbi Shosa Lanter, second paragraph. Kasher nashkif ha ritzonenu mavyenu halau kol hitay vetzachayim hamadumim ha'alazeh. If you think about it, our whole lives is about trying to live what we think is the dream world life. Haratzona takua ba'omek levavenu yatein naman. It's deep in our heart. V'chol sher lanu nitan ba'ad nafshenu v'atan nechafet v'atlevenu rechokim anu ma'od memarkas achim avadotenu lo lashem hi rov haitim b'chashecha na'alech l'malot b'tnenu l'ravot avatenu ha'shvelim v'anivzim. We spend most of our life not pursuing a relationship with God, but pursuing relationship with our stomach, pursuing relationship with our pleasures. And that's not even talking about sins. That's just talking about focus in our lives. Shirichaknu in the brachim in merkaz hachayim aruchaniyim. We have lost focus of the spiritual things. Umishum kachi banu et kol hargashim aruchaniyim. And because we are so focused on the physical world, we've lost that sensitivity, that awareness, that feeling for spiritual values. Like when a person is totally focused that I need to, right? It's Erev Yom Kippur now, and I need to build my sukkah. I need to get clothes for sukkahs. I need to put in a meat order for sukkahs. And because keep in mind, this year, the way it works out is like right after Yom Kippur is Shabbos, and then right after Shabbos is Sukkot, so there's really not a lot of shopping time. And as Rav Volpe says, when you're so focused, and again, we convince ourselves it's for a mitzvah, and it is. We're so focused on the physical world, we forget that we have the mitzvah in front of us called tshuva. We forget that spiritual sensitivity that we have in our lives. That, my friends, is idea number one, level number one. For the fact that we've sinned. And the fact that we've sinned has colluded our hearts from that natural connection to Hashem. We rationalize, we look at our pleasures, the pleasures become the focus of our lives. We don't see the beauty in the nature in front of us. We don't see the hand of Hashem when calamities happen. We don't see the hand of Hashem in that which is happening in our own lives. We don't see the hand of Hashem when people have it better or different than us. And we just want it to be for us. And why, God, are you doing this? Right? And this person who came to me this week was asking me why Hashem made her life the way it was. And I'm like, if you came to a prophet, you're at the wrong place. Because I can't be here as a level of a prophet. I can tell you that Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing, and I can tell you that instead of taking this energy and focusing on what you don't have, focus on the blessings that you do have and take that energy to thank Hashem for not what's missing in your life, for what you do have in your life. And that's taking this corrupted heart and straightening it. So the first idea of Timon Levav is weakened in the matters of faith. The second level, Timahon Levav, and it's interesting because I wasn't originally going to go down here, but I was drawn down this path. I was going to develop this first idea a lot more, and something drew me elsewhere. And that's the following, source 28, the second level. V'nira b'zeh t'timahon levav oltem haleim hu matzav shel tardemas haleim. I really should say more clearly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu led me down this path, and for whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted me to speak about this in particular. I'm just a kli, I just have to remind myself, I'm just a vessel, a vehicle to give over Torah, and it's a schus, and I daven for Siyata Deshmaya, and Hashem should put the right words into my mouth that to bring people closer to Him, and that's all we can daven for now. So let's go back to Motel Bina 28. Timahon levav is otem alev, hu matzav shel tardemas alev. We're asleep. Al timahon levav is al chet shechatanu lefanecha, for the sin of the sleepy heart. Sharei hu matzav shel shena, sha'az mufka adam yediyah ma'asav. And when we're sleeping, we have no idea what we're doing and what life is about. And this, he says, Hom namsti mazo shebalev, einar eitzel rak eitzel rishayim. I have a little secret to tell you, says our rapper. This isn't only by the wicked people. Ela b'chol adam. It's by every person, even the greatest of people. There are parts of us that are fast asleep, which is chelev al kislam hapnimi. There's like fat on our heart that makes us impervious, that makes us asleep, that makes us unable to respond. And this is the Rambam. Even though Tkiyah Shofar, Rosh Hashanah, Gzeira Sakatuv, even though it's because Lavi Blos Shofar Hashem told us to, there's a hint. Uru Yesheni Mishnatchem, wake up, you sleepyhead. And V'chipsu B'maisechem, and search out your ways. V'chizru B'tshuva V'zichru Barechem. Do tshuva and remember Hashem, those who forget the truth. Behevle Hasman, in the experiences of time, and you spend your whole time. Behevle Varik. We just spoke about. That's why the two levels are very interconnected. This is what Timahom Levav is. These are the people that are sleeping. The people who've lost that sensitivity on the spiritual aspect of the world. And that's what the shofar is coming to wake us up. You know, there's a story that's told of a certain individual. That in the times of the Rambam that didn't want to do vidui. He says, I know that I did not do any of these sins, and I'm a person of truth, and I'm not going to lie on Yom Kippur in front of God. And the response that he got from the Rambam is, Ilu yadata ta hanovav kama chomer avodat Hashem yitala. If you would know, in the asterisk in 20b, if you would know the severity of serving Hashem, and how much you have to serve Hashem with all of our ability, you would see that you have every single day gone over every one of these viduyim and more. What do you mean you haven't done any of them? You've done all of them plus. And every person is judged on the level that they're supposed to be. Now, what's fascinating about the Rambam is that the next part of this Rambam, we all know this Rambam, right? Wake up, you sleepyheads, right? The next part of this Rambam in 21 is, L'fichach sarich kol adam shiret tzmo kol shana kula. Person has to view themselves as if all year were on a scale. Half good, half bad, and one sin can tip the scale in either to the negative, and a mitzvah can tip it to the other way. So ask the Moshe Labina, why is this the next part of the Rambam? Lefichach, therefore. Like, what does this therefore have to do with waking up? And he says very, very poignantly in 22. Here the Rambam is teaching us that most people who are in, on whatever level, the sleepy state, in this state, they really believe that they're doing great. And yeah, of course, I have a few sins. No one's perfect. But obviously, like, if I were to put myself on the scale, I'm so weighed down by mitzvahs. Like, what are you even thinking? L'fichach, no, that part of our state of sleepiness is we don't even have an accurate picture of who we are. Because we're in this state, we say Lashon Hara, we're not even aware we say it. We go through the motions, we don't even aware we're going through the motions. And that is why a person has to wake up and realize, OMG, I'm really in worse shape than I thought. And hence, he ends with another mitzvah that the Rambam speaks about that is supposed to wake us up at all times, not just the shofar once a year, and that's the mezuzah. And it's almost the same language used when you pass the mezuzah. Wake up and realize that Hashem created this world. Right? This is in 22b what we say in Shir Shirim, Ani Yeshena V'li Be'er. I am sleeping, my heart is awake. A person can be awake in their heart, which means they're doing all these good deeds, but they're sleeping. And that is Timahon Levav. Kol Dodi Dofek. Hashem has to knock on our doors and wake us up. And this is what Rav Wolpe speaks about in Ali Shur. He says, you're right, in 24, when the Rambam would pass by a mezuzah, he would stop, kiss the mezuzah, and say, Hashem, I know you're here, I know you're in this room, I know that you exist, I know Ein Od Mavado, I need to reorient and refocus my life just to do your will. That's what happened when the Rambam passed the mezuzah. What do I pass to when I pass the mezuzah? I don't even notice the mezuzah half the time, unless it's ornate or special. I just walk through the door, or I mindlessly kiss the mezuzah. But am I awake? No. I'm walking, libi air, but I'm yishena. I'm sleeping. So mezuzah doesn't help me too much. So Rav Wolpe goes on and say, nimsu kol brachos kulam. That's why we have brachos. Brachos are supposed to wake us up. Before I eat an apple, recognize the beauty of the apple. Hashem created the apple. Give thanks to Hashem. That's the point of these. Hinei rov mitzvot haTorah in 24 in the Arrow. Most of the mitzvot haTorah mechuvanot lasir hashichrus va'alama ma'olam u'meitana. What's the point of a mitzvah? To wake us up from the sleepiness of this world. Hena Torah mitzaleket et haTohu min olam. That's what the Torah is about, to take away this world of nothingness and bring us into a world, shekulei malei kvodo yisparach, a world filled of the godliness. But nevertheless, we get so used to this world that we look at everything as teva, as nature. Olam hazeh shel Torah hu olam badu. This world of olam barur, this world that everything is clear, is hashkacha, is hard to come by. Nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does his best. Kol dodi dofeik. Hashem gives us personal challenges. He gives us national challenges. All in order to be able to wake us up. All in order to be able, and this is why we have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur davening. It's like once a year to have like a major wake-up call. Like, I want you to be completely alert, completely awake now. I want you to hear everything I'm saying. I want you to be with me. That's the Kol Shofar. That's the Yamim Noraim. That's the intense focus of this time of year. Now, my friends, let's take this idea one step deeper. And that is a beautiful, beautiful line that the Or Yecheskel has in 27, where he says, there are three types of tardema. Right, we have by Adam Harishon, Vayepel Elokim Tardema Ladam Vaykachat Cham and Felotav. Right, this deep sleep, like anesthesia for the operation of taking out Chava. Avraham Avinu by the Brisbane of Sarim was a Tardema. There are three types of Tardema. Tardema is like this. It's this sleep is the wrong word. It's like this deep sleep where you don't even realize anything going on. Right, it's like anesthesia. One is a Tardema of Shalshena, asleep. You're in the deepest sleep, right? The world can collapse around you. You wouldn't know it, right? You're really sleeping strong. There's a tardema shel nevuah. There's a deep sleep when a prophet would get prophecy. Again, they were like in a different zone. Now watch this one. And there's a tardema shel shtut. There's a deep sleep of foolishness. And I'll tell you, my friends, just like in the first two, you don't know anything going on around you. You're just in that zone. That's a tardema shel shtut. We're also in that zone. In the asterisk in 27, umekevan shesibat hakol hiya tardema, since everything is based on tardema, lachein derech hatshuva hi uru yesheni mishnatcha. It's about waking up. It's not just enough to do more. It has to be actually waking up. Rabbi Bernstein says this so beautifully in a Sefer on Tshuva, in Source 29. On Rosh Hashanah, we may perceive exactly the same thing. The mashal of the shofar as a wake-up call is very significant. When one is asleep, he's not merely inactive. He's also cut off from the reality around him. Moreover, when people are asleep, they dream, which means that not only are they removed from the reality around them, but they have replaced it with an alternative in a reality. There's no more true depiction of one who has lost sight of real goals and higher reality than that of one who is sleeping through life, so to speak. In fact, he has perfected the art of sleeping while he's fully awake. He goes through life oblivious to the reality around him. His life course is dictated by virtual reality, analogous to a dream, where he's all-important, all-powerful, and his selfish goals are of ultimate significance. Most of his mistakes are thus not simply bad deeds, but the product of what is essentially sleepwalking through life. The solution, therefore, is not to do better things, but to wake up. This is what the shofar is about. The day of light. Remember whose world it is. Live your life accordingly. We say this by the Tkiyav Shofar, Be'or Panecha, Ya'alechu, and the Tfuah is the call to reflect on the world in its true light, the light of Hashem's countenance. Happy are the people, Ashrei Am, Yodei Tfuah, who know the value of these moments when the shofar is being blown, for they know how to take the capsule of sound known as Tfuah, open it up, and find within it the light of Hashem. With this light, they can be guided and inspired as they walk through the new year of life that begins on Rosh Hashanah. This is the challenge. The challenge is, you know, you ever have this, you say, okay, I'm going to take on A, B, or C. And sometimes it lasts and sometimes it doesn't, but you don't feel like you're any different. And that's because you're taking it on in a dreamlike state. The first step has to be, and that's why Rosh Hashanah is before Yom Kippur, you have to wake up. You have to realize you've been sleeping. You have to realize you're living, you're sleepwalking, you're living in a dream. And you conjure up all these different things in a dream. And when you realize this, then you realize, whoa, I've lost a sense of reality. I need to reorient myself in my life. The way Rav Weissblum Shlita in Haras Derech in 29 describes this, and it's such a powerful imagery, and I think the imagery alone is worthwhile, my friends. And that is, he says, the Chovos Levavos, when he describes the effects of the Yetzer Hara and how it enters into our lives, he says, Ata yashen lo, v'hu er lecha, you're sleeping, and he's wide awake. Ata mitalei mimenu, v'hu eino mitalei mimcha, you're ignoring him, the Yetzer Hara, it other, and it doesn't ignore you. Hu er lecha peusho, here's the imagery, ready, watch this. Shehu omei tamid im mazreik malei chomer tardima. The Yetzer Hara walks around with a needle, and he injects you with sleeping potion. And anytime you're getting to be a little bit too awake, back in dream world, back in the world of suspended reality, back in the world which we'll see in a few minutes, he calls the world of dimayon, the world of imagination. No, however, says the Chovos Levavos, v'lo yamod lefanecha b'omdo kenegdo, kimo shekatuv eilecha tshukato v'tatim shomo. You have the ability to control it. Kasher adimayon sholeid alecha ein zata. When you have, and this is how he describes what this sleepy state is, it's a state of dimayon, a state of imagination. It's a state of suspended reality. When you're in this state, then you are not a ein zata. That's not you. You is when you have your intellect. You is when you are aware of what's going on. When you you is when you have your feet on the ground. You know what you're feeling. You know what you're thinking. And you know how to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And he says, I'll give you an example of this, of where this is at. Davening. We open our sitter. And we start. Ready? This is what happens. Oh, I am really tired. I don't know how I'm going to get through my day today. I have such a long day. Baruch Hashem Arahaya Olam. Oh gosh, what do I have to do first today? I think I should go to the dry cleaners before it closes. Baruch Hashem Melech Mehula B'Tishbachot. Then if I do that, I can then, right near there, it's the fruit and vegetable store. Mizmor L'Toda. I think if I pick up the fruit there, it'll be a little bit cheaper. Yehi Kavod. And that's our whole davening. We're not focused. We're in dreamland. We've planned that our whole day. And we know this, that at the end of davening, we turn to ourselves and say, wow, did I just finish davening? The world of dimayon, the world of imagination, the world of dreaming. That's Timahon Levav. It's saying Al Chayt for living in a dream world, in a sleepy world. Now, don't get me wrong. It's great to have dreams. It's great to have goals. But it's not Ani Yishen of a Libier. It's Ani Libier. I'm wide awake. I know my goals are. I know where I'm working toward. And that's why he says, if you're really feet on the ground, you don't have kina, you don't have jealousy, because you know that everyone has what they need, everyone gets what they deserve, and everything is directed by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. However, when you're not living that world, And he says, he gives us an example in source 30, second paragraph, Adam no se me'ir le'ir, kol derech u'er. Let's say you're traveling from one city to another, and you could even be driving, so you know you're awake because you have to drive your car. And you're in your highway hypnosis. You're in a different place. And then you get there and you say, gee, how did I get here? So driving your car and being highway hypnosis is one problem. Bigger problem is when you live your life this way. And you don't even realize you're living it. And you don't even realize what life is about. And you go through the motions, but you're not there. So my friends, we've described on two levels. The first level is the confusion of the heart. We sin. We create an obstruction over our heart. We lack emunah. And when we don't have that clarity of emunah, which is hereditary, which is part of me, whether it's rationalizations, I don't see the beauty in the world. I don't see the hand of Hashem in the global picture. I don't see the hand of Hashem in my personal life. I'm jealous of other people. This is all coming from sin. And making my whole focus of my life things which are of limited value. Well, he is sleepy-headed. I'm sleeping through life. I'm not even aware what's going on. And the Yitzhahara is continuously injecting me. Go back to sleep. Go back to dreamland. You don't have to think about what you're doing. Don't think about what you're saying. Don't think about what you're wearing. Just go back and just dream through life. And that's what we do. And we fall into this trap. How do we break out of both of these levels of Timon Levav? What is the process of tshuva? So I'd like to mention a number of ideas that may be helpful. Idea number one is, again, the Or Yecheskel first essay in Sichos Elul 32. And he says, Hinei ha-yesod ha-rishon shel Adam, the first foundation is, Sha-secho mechayev u-madrich ha-kol pulotav. You have to have your sechel, your intellect, rule over what you are doing. And he says, V'lo rakish ein sechel mikri chote. If your sechel is not running you, you're going to sin. Ela af l'malo mizeh sheno migader adam klal. Shemusak adam hu ha-sechel. Ki tivim ve'ergelim him af ba'alei chayim. You're not even a person. A person is someone who thinks. So the first thing they have to do, obviously easier said than done, is practice having my sechel rule my other parts of my body, where I'm thinking. If I'm thinking, I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara. If I'm thinking, I'm going to say a bracha better. And we know that we are made up of two parts. The sechel is part of the chachma, the mind of a person, the chelek haguf, the physical part of the person. And when we are created, para adam yula, I are para adam yula, we're created like a wild animal that has to be trained, that has to be tamed. It doesn't come easy. You have to work on yourself. It takes a lifetime to work on yourself. And 33, Rabbi Yonah, v'nei bor nafach b'po nishmas chayim, chachmas lahim. Hashem breathed into us this ability to think about what we're doing and why we're doing this. And that is first and foremost our job, to be able to have our heart, our head, rule over our heart. Let's develop this in the Sefer that I really, 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 really highly recommend. It's not too late. It's also on Yom Kippur, and you'll have it for next year as well. And I really believe it's a book that even if you read it for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you can learn it with Chavrusa over the year. It deals with such basic ideas of Hashkafa written in such a clear way. A New Approach to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Rabbi Berkovitz. It's distributed by Feldheim. Get the book. 34. What is a nefesh? A basic understanding which is found in Tzvarim. It refers to the animal life, nefesh habahemis, the animal soul. The Ramchal defines this as geshem dak, a very subtle form of physicality. In other words, nefesh is a physical life. It's one's DNA, one's nature, personality, his basic talents. What is a neshama? The neshama and he, Hashem, blew into his natural soul of life, nishmas chayim. As always, any physical description of Hashem is an allegory. This Hashem gave of himself in order to give Adam life. In other words, our life. The nishmas chayim within us comes through the neshama more than the nefesh. Our neshama has more in common with Hashem than our nefesh does. For nefesh remains connected to the physical, while the neshama reaches into the realms of the spiritual. Still, what is the neshama? The neshama is the voice of reason. The bracket 34. One sechel hayasher, straight, objective thinking. That is the neshama, is our God-given logic. It's incorrectly translated common sense, but today when sense is not so common, it's more appropriate to call it the logic that one who really understands himself and understands his ability can access. It's the operating system, the computer's internal logic. It is sourced in Hashem. It's the peace of Hashem that's within us. When Chazal say the neshama was taught by an angel while we were in the womb, it means that a neshama is pre-programmed with Hashem's wisdom. It follows that our ability to determine the right and wrong of any situation, make decisions accordingly, falls under the role of the neshama. All is something we are capable of doing. And that is why, my friends, by associating our nefesh with our instinct, we can understand this is connecting point with the Yetzer Hara. At the same time, our neshama, which we have associated with divinely bestowed logic, is our Yetzer HaTov. And we have to realize, who are we? Are we a neshama and have a body? Or are we a body with a neshama? We have to determine who the we is. When we speak about ourselves, we're talking about the combined whole of both the nefesh and the neshama. And we have to ask ourselves, do we align more with the nefesh or the neshama? Free will tells us to align with our neshama. Stop. It might be impossible all day. What we have to do, and this is a commitment, you know, it's not all or nothing. We have to say to Hashem, I am preparing some antidote potion in one area of my life that when I am sleeping, I'll take this antidote potion, I'll inject myself, and I'll wake up. It might be in Brachos, it might be in Asher Yatzar, it might be in my Ben Adam Chavero, that when somebody's talking to me, I'll actually stop and look at them and stop whatever I'm doing. I'm not going to be dreaming on my machines, I'm going to be looking at them. I'm going to be focused, whatever it is. Find an area where we sleep. Find an area where we're not appreciative of Hashem's beauty. You take a walk every day to stop and to say, Ma Rabu Masecha Hashem. Osa Masa Breshe, right? Just to appreciate when something happens in your life, to be able to say, wow, I know Hashem, this is good, even if I don't understand it. To create for ourselves, and it has to be something very real and practical, some antidote, something that's going to remind me, wear something, say something, sing something, I don't know, that's going to wake us up, carry some alarm clock on you, right? Whatever it is, that alarm rings, it's waking you up as an antidote to the tardema, the sleep that you're in. The second thing of the three that we have to keep in mind in 37 is where Rabbi Yisrael Salanter speaks about Lefum Sara Agra. According to the pain is the reward. Know that as long as we're trying and we're in the process of struggle, that's what counts. We may not be totally successful, but we're in process. We're in struggle. And that's what Hashem wants for us, because when I'm struggling, I'm awake, I'm alive. Right? No pain, no gain. You have to be awake to have the pain to get the gain. So know that just by saying it's going to be difficult, and I know it's going to be difficult, but I'm putting in the effort, it's a conscious effort to be alive and functioning. And the more we put in, and the more we extend ourselves, the greater the effort, the greater the reward, the greater we'll gain. And finally, my friends, something to keep in mind. Again, Chochmah Matzpun, Source 40, when a person when I prime myself to see Hashem's hand in everything, a parking space right in front, the person I was looking for is right there, whatever it is, I prime myself, the first cord I picked up is what I need, and I look and I think about emotionally how sweet the mitzvos are that Hashem has commanded me. B'vaday b'vaday yinater mimkomo ba'oz v'chedva u'berov ava v'chemda yifne libo l'kiyum atar mitzvoteh b'dikduk b'tachvis ha'shleimus. When I get excited about my avodas Hashem, that's going to wake me up. So I could have this potion which is one thing, that in some area this is going to be the counter to Timo Leva. It could be that I'm going to really focus and, like, push myself, and that's going to wake me up, Lufum Sara Agra. And another way to be woken up, which is a much softer way, is just focus on how much Hashem loves me. We spoke about Rosh Hashanah Shir, or Ben Yakir Le'Ephraim, how sweet the mitzvahs are, how pleasurable they are. Like, why would I want to be sleeping through a mitzvah? Like, this is the greatest pleasure. Like, could you imagine someone daydreaming under the chuppah of their child getting married? OMG, you are not daydreaming. You are living every moment. You're davening every moment. Well, if we looked at mitzvahs in this way of being so special and such a connection to Hashem, why would I be sleeping through it? And again, my friends, if it's not every mitzvah, pick one mitzvah. This is my mitzvah of love. And I'm going to be there. And I'm going to be in the relationship. And that's why, really, what we're saying, it comes full circle. That when a person is sleeping through life, when a person is in Timahon Levav Atum HaLev, and you're in dreamland, and you're not even realizing what's going on. So obviously, when these tragedies and calamities happen, and when you see the beauty of Hashem's world, you're also sleeping through that. Everything becomes confused state. It's the grand finale. We're living in a state of sin. We're living in a state of distance from Amuna. But you know what the worst thing is? We're living in a state of slumber. And we're missing out on the wonderful opportunities of connection. We're living in a world of dream worlds where we think that I'm in charge and that all that matters is the physical pleasures and the prestige. I've missed the mark, Hashem. Hashem, help me live in a state of being alive and alert and recognizing Einod Movado, there is none aside from you. And recognizing that I need to create potions to wake me up to be able to experience the beauty of what Torah and Mitzvot are about. And that ani er v'li bi er. And I will not need the kol dovdi dofek. We're not going to need individually and collectively that lo aleinu tragedies will happen, COVID will happen, to wake us up. We are awake, we are alert, we're ready and desiring to serve you. A gemar chasima tova.